just sit there for a minute, hon. And I've got so many things that the Lord has put in my heart. And I'm not going to get them all done. I'm not going to get them all said. All right. It's about 6:30. My watch may be, it may be off, but it's okay. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. So, praise God. Well, you look good. All right, you don't look good. Then what do you say? Man, you're not real responsive. I was walking into a store in St. Louis, and I saw a lady coming up about, 20, 30 feet away. And so I just stood there as a double set of doors, and I held the door open for her. And she walked in and stood at the next door. And I thought, you're old enough, you should be a little grateful if somebody's courteous. And it just ticked me off. I don't get ticked off easily, but when you should know better, and you're an adult, and you don't act like an adult. So she stood there waiting for me to open up the next door. She didn't acknowledge the first time I was courteous and held the door open for her while she came. So I stepped in front of her and opened up the second door and shut her and just looked at her. And then walked away. Ignorant. In the last days, people are going to be unthankful. If somebody opens the door for you, say thank you. If somebody says you look good, say thank you. Some of you still can't respond. I said... Hallelujah. Is it too cold? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord's good. Sometimes we're just too distracted, aren't we? I think it's the enemy of our souls and the world around us, especially, that he uses to distract us from things that are necessary. I'd been working hard the other day. Well, a few weeks ago now. I think I've worked hard since then, but a few weeks ago I'd worked hard. And I was coming in and it was dark. And my wife had ordered, the doctor had said, Rose, this would be good for you. And then she had talked to one of our daughters, and my daughter had just looked that very thing up. And so Rose said, yeah, I'm going to order it. And she ordered this little thing. It's a little sauna that you set in. It's portable, like a little tent, and your head sticks out of it. And weird little thing. And... I walked in, the house was dark, and the TV was on, the news or something, I don't know what it was. And I opened up the door and I said, Rose? She said, yeah, I'm in here. But I didn't see her. So I walked in. When you walk into my house, you walk in, and if you walk a little bit to the left, there's a double set of doors that goes into the family room and the kitchen area. So I walked through those double set of doors, and I said, Rose. She said, here. I turned around. She had set that little sauna unit in those double doors. I walked right past her and didn't even know it. And the point of it is, I'd heard her voice. I was looking for her, and the very thing or one I was looking for, I passed right up. It's easy to be distracted. The TV was on. I didn't know what was on it. I heard the noise in there, though. Maybe she's in there. How? The sauna is this wide. She's in the double doors. How could I walk past it and not see her? Can I tell you, God has spoken. He has so manifested His vision and His plan. And yet, like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, Emmaus means looking for springs. Cleopas was the only disciple that was named. You put your name in the next guy. Cleopas and you, walking on the road to Emmaus, looking for refreshing and strength. And Jesus, who had died and resurrected, they were talking about Him. We thought, but. And because He didn't do exactly what they thought He was going to do, They were living in discouragement. Because he didn't do what they thought, because he didn't do as they thought. And I tell you, you don't think right. Would you just turn for some, just turn to somebody and say, he's talking about you. None of us think right. We think below the standard of thinking in the kingdom of God. Our minds have been affected by the nature, the fallenness of sin. We don't think right. We don't see from a better perspective. We don't see with a clearer heart of love and holiness. And we judge one another. Nobody in here, but in Texas. We judge one another by our own criticisms and fears and sinful nature. And we miss the very thing that God is saying. We walk right by it. He's speaking. We walk right by it. Because he's not what we think. The Lord spoke to me in the second week of January. I've been again to set aside time the first of the year, as a lot of people do. I set aside time to just fast and pray and snuggle up to the Lord and try to get my mind right and my heart right. And for weeks, I've prayed Psalms 139, especially the last two verses. Search my heart. Search my heart. If there's any offensive way in me, if there's anything in me that is not like you, reveal it. Take it out. The Lord spoke to me on March the 22nd, 2:30 in the afternoon this year. And he said, I'm about to move by my spirit. I'm about to move. And I'll refresh and I'll transform and I'll set free. Prepare. Prepare. Preparation always precedes blessing. You want your vessels to be filled? Then bring empty vessels in. If you want to be filled, have a hungry heart. If you don't have a hungry heart, then don't expect to be filled. Don't expect to be filled if you're not hungry. You're preoccupied with what you think is your greatest hope. How much time do you set apart in your heart to have an attitude? Oh, I need you. Oh, I need you. Do you live with a hunger towards God? Or if that pastor preaches that again, why don't he get on to something else? Why do they have to sing that same song? It doesn't make sense to me. And we critique the very ones who are trying to help us to locate the voice of God and what he's saying. But we're going to critique them because they don't sing the song that we want them to sing or sing the way they want. I know you don't do this, but somebody else who isn't here probably needs this. God has spoken. And he wants a people that are setting their hearts to run after him. And he said, if you'll seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me. The Lord spoke to me. He said, will my people, will my church be what they're called to be what they're destined to be in this time of history? Or will I have to wait for another generation? Oh, don't play as though, oh, God loves me just like I am. Yeah, he loves you like you are. But he has no intention of leaving you like you are. He came to save you from you. Because the way that you and I should go is not in us. Amen. It's not in us. From Ephesians chapter 1, God's got a plan to be destined us. He's called us to be holy. He's called us to be like him. And the rest of the book says there's a plan, as Sherlock would have said. The game is afoot. And his whole stance towards you is to draw you with his love, with his purpose, to fulfill his intention. To fulfill his intention. It's not what you thought. It's what you could never imagine. It's to do exceedingly abundantly above more than you can ask or think. That you're not going to live your fears, but you're going to live a faith that you'll only find from hearing that voice that you're trying to locate. It's coming out of the Word. It's right in the Word. But it's not the little doctrine that you got 1, 2, 3. It's a person. And he's speaking right out of the Word. It's a relationship bigger than a dogma that you can put on your wall. It's a relationship that you ought to be so amazed at that when you get up in the morning, you can say, wow, why are you so good to me? Why is your attitude so fresh with favor toward me? And though I live at the river Chebar at the city dump, or though I live in the palace with Daniel and Ezekiel, the palace of the city dump, both great prophets of God. But in American gospel, see, if you're a man and woman of God, you drive a new car. You got a big house. Otherwise, you don't have faith. See, these punks today don't have the faith that Ezekiel had. That man had faith. As a prophet of God, he wasn't jealous that his buddy lived in the palace. We wonder, how come I can't live in the palace? You couldn't handle it. So I'm only here one night. I'll be gone tomorrow. It's okay. You couldn't handle palace. Get used to the dump. Can you handle the dump? You think God loves you less because you're in the dump? He needs somebody in the dump. And he needs somebody in the palace. And he doesn't need them jealous of one another. He doesn't need them fighting one another to see who's got more faith. God loves me more. You must have sinned. Live in the dump. Live in the palace. Learn to be content. Learn to be hungry and say, thank you, Lord. And not be bitter. Learn to be full. And not be proud and arrogant. Learn that you can do all things through Christ, who not just strengthens you, but is your life. He's your life. You woke up today because he's nuts about you. And you quote this little stupid thing because it is so American. He loves me with an unconditional love. Oh, aren't you sweet? You don't even know what you said. You want to make excuses. Then why did he say, if it's an unconditional love, why did he say, whosoever believes? Does he love you unconditionally? Yes. But is it unconditional? No. You want to receive his love? Then operate in faith. He's the author of eternal salvation. The letter of Hebrews says, to all them that obey him. Don't obey him and see where it gets you with his unconditional love. You either obey or you don't. You're the servant to whom you obey. Read it. Romans chapter 6, the whole chapter. You're the servant, the slave, to whom you obey. And you know who you're going to obey? What you think is going to fulfill your hope. Oh yeah, you're going to serve what you think is going to satisfy your heart. Some of you can't wait till you get 65. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to Florida. I'm going to get a boat. That's the last thing you need. You can't even drive a car. You want to get a boat. Jesus. We think retirement's the goal. Are you kidding me? It's not even in the Bible. It's Americanized. You want to retire? From what? It's okay to retire. You got enough to live on? Retire. But it doesn't mean you forget or forfeit your purpose of life. Your purpose is greater than your retirement. It's greater than your vocation. And you have a purpose of God upon your life. And you need to live with the conviction of the purpose of God, that from before you were ever born, God saw you. He saw you. He knows every hair on your head. He's got a plan for you. He's got a path for you. How are you going to know it? You got to hear the voice. You got to locate it. Yeah, it's in the book, all right. And the Holy Spirit's going to speak. But see, whenever the Holy Spirit speaks, oh, he's got a plan. He's got a form. We don't like forms. We got this idea God doesn't like religion. That's another one of them stupid Americanisms we get. I know you don't say that stuff. I hate religion. You're not. You hate food? You ever had bad food? You ever had, anybody have, that's a question. You ever had bad food? You say you hate food? No. But why do you say you hate religion? God wants religion. It's a way of testimony. It's a way of conviction. It's a way of proven testimony from Genesis to Revelation. It's the way of the Holy Spirit. It's the way of the Word of God. In the book of 2 Timothy, there are five forms of conviction of truth. And Paul said, the grace appeared before the foundation of the world. Aren't you glad? How many are glad? Why are you glad? You didn't see it. Didn't do you a bit of good. Until grace came in a form. Grace had to have a form. We had to see it. It had to be touched. You had to handle it. You had to see it. If you didn't see it, it wouldn't have done you a bit of good. Had to have a form. And it came in the form of Jesus. He lived it. Lived it. Born of the Spirit. Stayed under tutors and governors. Never did a miracle. What a waste. Why didn't he do any miracle? Because he learned to submit. Oh, we hate that word. Submit. Who do you think you are? We got this attitude today. It's the epitome of the Antichrist. And it's not in the young. I'm not looking at you. It's in the young. And it's in the old. We get attitude. Young one needs to listen to me. Nobody even likes you. You're a grump. If you want to get their attention, be a little loving, be a little kind. Then we'll hang around you. Other than that, we're just going to rebuke you and say, in the name of Jesus, count, you know. Be nice. Getting old is no excuse for getting mean or boring or dull. Be friendly. I had a little boy, and he was standing up in the back of a chair. He's about, two and a half years old. And Cletus was an old guy behind him that had had a stroke. Now, if your name is Cletus, I'm not picking on you. But Cletus had a stroke, and his face was all drawn up, and he didn't have any teeth. And he drooled. And he's sitting back about, you know, a little ways. And Cletus had he didn't have a good expression on his face. And little Dougie was just making faces, you know, all kinds of faces at Cletus. And Mary just swapped him in the rear. You turn around and sit down, quit doing that. Little Dougie said, well, he started it. See, young people don't know. They don't know this expression. I'm sorry, kid, I can't help it. It's the only face I got, you know. They don't know. So sometimes we older people got to go out of our way. Listen, I am smiling, you little brat. You know, yeah, talk to them. Are you okay? Yeah. If I get a little too sarcastic, just bad pastor, and I'm leaving tomorrow. Just don't say thank God right now. Hallelujah. God has a plan for you, And I'm going to skip around and exhort on some things, and that's really what I want to do. Because God has so much more in mind for you, and the timing of God for this area is pregnant. And I'm supposed to be in Africa right now. Scheduled to be in Africa. We had 42,000 people saved last year in Africa, in Uganda. And we got to drill wells, and we're trying to drill get a well built, a drill that we can carry and move around without spending a lot of money. So we're working on that, and it's a big deal. And I said I can't go because God told me to go to Duluth, and He told me to go to Green Bay. And that's why I am here. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. I don't need to go and preach. I'm old enough. I don't like traveling. I don't like getting on an airplane. I just soon drink mocha right in my own kitchen or in my backyard. I enjoy that. I love being with my wife, and I love being with our church. Hallelujah. But the Lord gave me a word, so you need to pay attention because this is a voice that's speaking to you, okay? God is ready to do something in this area, but you got to stop a lot of the other confusion and the distractions and pay attention to what God is saying. So 2 weeks ago, early in the morning, it was about 4:30, I wake up and the Lord spoke to me about Duluth, what I was to minister up there, the ministers' meetings and at that church over there, and then He told me here. And He said, they need 200,000, but they got to raise 100,000. I said, for what? He said, they have to prepare, because where they're at is too small for what I'm going to do. I said, huh. I never said a word to anybody. Never said a word to anybody. What I'm telling you is that you need to believe in the destiny of God for Visible Church. You need to believe in the destiny of God for Visible Church. You say, we 100,000. Who's going to? Now, I'm not taking an offering. I'm not asking you for money, so stop. None of that. What I'm telling you is to believe in the word of the Lord for what God says about up here. When 9 years ago, Rose and I were doing some traveling. I'd come home from Africa. And I said, I didn't see her for 8 hours for 2 months. And I said, I want to live with you while I still know you. I said, we need to do something. She said, well, I said, let's pastor again. I said, I just feel like the Lord. I said, where you want to pastor? She said, either Florida or Texas. So we went to Florida, sat on the sat on a little trailer park. And her and Martinez, we met. He's a great friend of ours. And he said, Joel, the Lord's called you to take over the church here, Paula's church. And I said, no. I went to the church, you know, it wasn't God for us. Went back to Arizona, got a call, said, would you help this little church? I said, yeah. He doing a little troubleshooting. I said, where are they at? He said, Texas. I said, I'll just take it. He said, oh, no, you don't want this church. No, it's bad town. Yeah, it's really, really small. It's not for you. And I said, no, the Lord told me to take it. So I went there, 12 people. 12 people. Are you kidding me? I just turned down a church of a few thousand. Me take 12 people, God. See, when you look at the outward circumstances, you're going to miss God. You can't look at the outward stuff. You got to listen to the voice. What did the voice say? That's where you get your direction in life. What is God saying? He's always going to speak through the word, and He's going to speak by the Holy Spirit. So we went there, and I mean to tell you, it was horrible. The first few days were horrible. And I said, well, I'm glad Rose is still in Arizona because we don't have to stay here, Lord. We can go. And the Lord said, no, this is it. So I prayed. I said, okay, God, there's 12 people. Nobody's got any money. They can't even pay to move me here. I don't have any money. What are you going to do? So I got a call the next day. Did you find a house? I said, oh, sure. They said, well, I got $23,000 for a down payment if that'll help. And I said, that'd probably help. 15 minutes later, I got another call. Hey, I have $23,000. Would that help renovate the house? I said, you know, this might be gone. I got another call a few minutes after that. Pastor, You got to have money to move on. Would $10,000 help you move here? I said, you know, this could be God after all. You people are all poor. Nobody's got a job. What in the world is going on here? See, whatever God says, His word is going to perform. His word always works, but He's not going to let you get the credit. He's going to be glorified. That's the deal. So after being one year there, the Lord said, take up an offering. I said, I want to raise $10,000 to minister in the refugees. I said, God, we don't have any money. Lord Jesus, well, I'm going to ask these people. Nobody's here even got a job. Okay, so at the end of the service, I said, would you pray with me? $10,000 for these refugee camps. So I get a call, 6:30 in the morning. The lady said, I've been awake all night. God has tormented me. There's money in this account left from my mom. It's yours. Just take it. Just take it. I've already called the lawyer. It's yours. Just take it. I said, okay. I called the lawyer. I said, well, we want to send some money to Uganda. He said, well, not all of it. I said, how much money is there? He said, $146,000. I said, I asked for 10. I like you. This is good stuff. God will always do exceedingly abundantly and more, but He says, according to the power that works within us. That's the nature of Christ He's looking for. If you have the nature of Christ, read Philippians 2. What's that nature? I'm not looking for a title. I'm not looking to be seen. It's that humility that I'll humble my heart and serve the purpose of God wherever I'm at. That's what Jesus did. And that's what He's looking for in Green Bay. And so the lawyer said, Pastor, well, this money is for you. How much do you want? I said, $146,000. He said, well, what are you going to send to Uganda? I said, $146,000. He said, no, what's yours? I said, nothing. He said, well, the lady said the money is yours. I said, yeah, and it's for that mission. He said, well, I thought you wanted 10. I said, it's all going there. See, it's not about what we want. So the following year, I get a call. Pastor, I hear you're doing this work in India. We'd like to help. But how much do you want if I send you some money? He said, I don't want any money. He said, no, I'm going to send you a lot. I know it's a big deal. I want to build your faith tonight to be a servant of the vision of God. That's what I'm talking about. He said, well, I know you're going to want some. I said, no, I'm not going to want any. All right, I'm going to send you $250,000. I'm going to wire it to your bank in the morning. I said, okay. He said, how much do you want? You want 5% normally. I said, I don't want any percent. He said, you're going to send it all? I said, yeah, it's going to the work. Now, let me ask you something. Does your life belong to you or to the Lord? Does your life belong to you or to the Lord? What are we doing in Green Bay? Are we working the vision of God? Are we working the program of God? Or are we working for titles? Are we working for names? Or are we working for the program of God? And when the Lord spoke to me this afternoon in prayer, he said, it's too small. This is too small. I said, God, do they feel this yet? I don't know. Do they feel this yet? God said, it's too small. The vision that God has placed here, this is too small. I don't want you to think with your eyes and ears. I want you to think with the word of the Lord. And to have the vision of God, you've got to hear the thoughts of God. Samuel heard the voice of God in the middle of the night, and he thought it was Eli. A lot of times the word of God sounds like the preacher. I'm not telling you he's God. But what I am telling you is like what Paul told the Thessalonians. He said, thank you that you received the word that we preach as though it was the word of God and not us. We stand in a greater judgment. If we preach something with ulterior motives, God's going to skin our hide. It doesn't say skin hides, but James 3:1 says He's going to really get us. So there's a fear of God in me that I not lead people astray, that I not treat them as their sins deserve, just like He's not treated me as my sins, that I love them and that I'm merciful and that I'm honest. And before I preach, before I correct, and if these people here that are in leadership can't teach and preach and train and correct and rebuke you, as Paul said in 2 Timothy, and you're in the wrong church. But let me ask you this. Can anybody teach, train, correct, and rebuke you? And if they can't, are you even saved? Because when you got saved, the first thing the Lord did was correct you. He put it on a spotlight and showed you you're in sin. Why would you need a Savior? Because he told you you're in sin. That's the goodness of God that is putting light on our lives. And we learn from that light, don't we? That we live in a repentant attitude. That's the nature of our life with God. We live in a humble attitude. That whatever he says, we're going to do it. That's the nature of a child of God. Is this okay tonight? I've got other sermons I could preach, but this is what I've... Okay. I want you to catch the vision of God. Now, the people of Israel died in the wilderness because they missed it. They didn't believe in what God said. Oh, the giants are too big. We can't do it. Well, I'm not that way. I don't have any money. I don't know. God really didn't speak to me. Are you in the congregation? Then God's speaking to you. All these 10 spies. Well, I don't know. Two kids, Joshua and Caleb. Thank God for the kids. Thank God that somebody will be just, yeah, let God be God and let him speak. Thank God. I want to know, are you going to accept the word of the Lord for what God is saying about Green Bay? I think there's so much vision here that it's going to reap a harvest. I think people are starving to death for what God has got here. Oh, yeah. Oh, I do. I think they're starving. And I think he wants to use you as a vehicle of love. As a vehicle of love, not to critique, not to correct, not to instruct, but to love them. Show them the love of God. Show them the light of God and bring them right into the kingdom of God. This is a big deal and it's a big challenge. You think you're ready for it? What it's going to take is a surrendered life. A surrendered heart to say, God, whatever you say, whatever you say. Now, when I was young, I got saved at 7. I was filled with the Holy Spirit at 9. They begged me not to come to band or choir for 3 years. They said, you don't have any talent. You're tone deaf. You can't sing, boy. I wanted to be in the choir. They put me through every part, kept putting me in the back. You can't. Don't come back. Go to shop class. I went through every musical instrument in the band. I couldn't find a note. I played drums. I couldn't find a note. They begged me every year. Please don't come back. But when I was 19 years old, an evangelist, I was paroled to him for 3 years. And when I sat on the organ bench, he said, you're my organist. I said, I'm tone deaf. He said, well, not always. I said, I've always been tone deaf. He said, well, you're my organist. I said, God, this guy's dumber than I am. I can't play anything. So let me ask you, so what? You can't do anything. Are you available that God could give you something maybe you've never had? So I sat there for 3 months playing with one finger, two little courses. It was pathetic. People thought it was a joke. But one night during an altar call, when the big old guy was up there praying for people, I just was worshiping God. And as I was worshiping God, he yelled at me, which was normal. That was a joke. But God, guys. Joel! And I thought, now what did I do? Trying to worship God. I'm still wrong. He said, look at your hands. And I had both hands on the organ. Scared me to death. I had no idea what I was doing. After service, he said, show me what you did. And I tried to find my one finger again. He said, no, with both. I couldn't find it. He said, what were you doing? I said, Jim, I'm sorry. He said, no, it was great. What was you doing? I said, I forgot about my one finger in the course. He said, what were you doing? I said, I just got caught up worshiping God. And I forgot how inadequate I was. I forgot how I can't do that. I'm not called. I don't have that gift. And I just was impressed with God, his holiness, his love. I just loving on him. And so you're going to live and take on the characteristics of whatever you're really impressed with. We have so fallen from the image of God that He made us in. You got to be born again. You got to be born again. And when you're born again, the divine nature of God is born in you. And He's got to be developed. He's got to grow. You need the nurture of the Word of God, instruction and correction and training. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to learn to worship and be amazed at God. And all of a sudden, your inadequacies are so going to disappear. And all of a sudden, you're going to find yourself doing things that everybody knows. You can't do that. You can't do that. That has to be God. And they're going to see it's God. So what I'm asking you, are you to just, will you have an attitude that says, I know in myself I can't do anything. I know in myself I'm not worthy. I know in myself I'm inadequate. I may have sin. I may have failure. People may look at me and say, God, you never going to amount to anything. But you love me. And you have a plan for me. And if I live in your love, if I live amazed at you, could your love dido me, lavish, bestow? It's a Greek word, 1 John 3:1, that God so lavished His love upon us. He dido me. In other words, He took something out of heaven that is His very nature, and He marked you. He marked you with His nature. And that anybody that looks at you, they're going to see the handiwork of God. They're going to say, that's not her. There's God in that. That's God. That's God. See, in Ephesians 3, He said, you were marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. It's an engraving. It stands out from the object. You're marked. And when they see that, there's been something else put on this property, and you've been marked. You've been marked. Some say you've been marked and you've been hurt. God says, I'm going to show them something. That's what God says. And the Holy Spirit is doing something. See, that's what God says. You can't look at people and feel sorry. You look at people with the love of God. You can cry, but you're not crying out of sympathy. It won't do your faith a bit of good. Faith works. Faith is energized by the love of God. And when you love people, you pray for them. You pray for them. You believe with them. You talk to them about the promises of God. You have visions and dreams. Because see, that's what the love of God does. The love of God has a plan, and He speaks. And when He speaks, He says, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons, you like that? Your sons, yeah, I like these boys. And your daughters, they're going to prophesy. They're going to speak the word of the Lord. It is so important that you'll listen, because whatever you listen to is inscribed into your imagination. And that's that creative part of your brain that God put in there. Whatever you listen to, that's why important. Don't spend a lot of time in front of those stupid games playing. You don't need fantasy. But if you'll hear God like Samuel did, and the Bible says that Samuel heard God, but when he heard God, he saw vision. And when you hear God, you see visions about your life. You see the calling of God. You see certain giftings of God where He removes any types of inferiority, inadequacy. God just takes them out. Why? Because when you hear God, there's something about the Word of God that you're not listening to what people think about you. You're listening to what God says about you. And He's got a plan that is a whole lot different than mommy and daddy's and grandpa's. He's got a plan for you. And he's been shaping you from before you were born. And if you listen to that word of God, oh, it's going to be different than brothers. Hallelujah. It's going to be different. It's going to be different. They'll say, him? Him? God says, yeah. I'm going to take the runt, the one that nobody thought was going to be much. And I'm going to take that little David. I'm going to make him the king of Israel. See, God's got thoughts about you that nobody else can think unless they're listening to the voice. But when you hear the voice, you're going to hear destiny that's in eternity. And God is constantly looking for somebody to listen to his voice because he has testimony in time. One time this little girl, 14, 15, 16 years old, heard a voice. I'm not married. You're going to have a kid. This is not going to be good in Nazareth. They're going to talk. Joseph's not going to understand. I heard a voice. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know how you could. But be it unto me according to your word. And when she said yes to God, she turned her back on the world because the world's going to talk. They called him the son of Mary. You're a bastard son. You have no legitimate right to anything in Israel. But see, when you hear God speak, you can stand up against what people say. Because it's the word of God that not just created heaven and earth, he sustains heaven and earth. And you've got to hear the word of God. Because when you hear the word of God, that's your life. That's your life. That's your life. Hallelujah. The Lord loves you. You need to know that. He's nuts about you. But the Lord really loves you. You're one of them James and John. You know who James and John is? They were that sons of thunder. That's who they were. And not everybody wanted them around. They were pushy. Now, I'm not trying to talk about you. I'm talking about my old friends, James and pushy. But see, God called them. And then the Samaritans didn't like their testimony. You want us to call down fire from heaven, Jesus? Oh, boy. And see, God had called these guys, but man, they were rough around the edges. Whew. Some of us, we think, man, God's going to use me. Can I tell you, some of us are so stinking rough around the edges. But man, you walk in the house, you're like a buffalo. You need a little training and a little help. And God's going to teach you harmony. He's teaching you harmony. I'm not talking about singing. God's working something in you because the hand of the Lord's on your life. And he not just called you out. He called you by name. And the plan that he has for you is shaping you and he's changing you because he put a grit inside of you that says when you hang on, you're hanging on like a bulldog. And God said, like a James and John, he's working in you. And you're going to see some things come to pass. But can I tell you, when God calls you by name and begins to work on you, take an attitude of great humility. Take an attitude, I don't know anything. I can't do anything. And if you take that attitude, he'll speak. He'll speak. And the Lord's hands on you, son. And you got some rhythm on the drum, and that's good. But it's the heartbeat of the Father that he's put within you to be a follower and a disciple because of the hand of the Lord is on you for good. And you're going to be a voice of God. And like James and John and a few of the others, they were pillars. God called you to be a pillar. That's your destiny. So learn to read some scripture, spend some time in prayer because you've got some good days ahead and some rough days, but good days. Hallelujah. That's the plan of the Lord. There's something about women. When God made women, it's different from men. Yeah. Some of us don't know that yet. Some of them are struggling with the differences. But the differences was part of the design of God. When I go to the store and I get groceries, which is not a lot, I'm not really good in the store. And I pick up stuff that Rose says, why'd you get that? I said, I don't know. But you might like it. She said, Joe, we don't eat that. I said, oh. What do you want to do with it? She said, well, give it away. I said, who? Give it to the ducks or the wild hogs in the back. I'm not eating that. I said, okay. But I'll bring stuff home, and it's amazing what she can do with it. It really is amazing. You give her some raw meat, and she's going to make meatloaf, good meatloaf, or a good ribeye, or a baked potato that's loaded with brisket. Hallelujah. I'm about to just dismiss service and go back to the house. I think God may be speaking. Hallelujah. But whatever you give a woman that knows who she is in God, she's got to make it different. She's going to change it. It's not going to look like ground beef. She's going to shape it, make it different. You build a house. Good Lord. You think it's her house. She's going to change everything. You paint the walls, doesn't make any difference what color you paint them. She's going to change the paint. Then why didn't you put a window here? Well, put a window in there. We've got all the, put another one. And then she wants to put curtains on it. Good Lord. It's okay. What about just blinds? I want curtains. I want that table. She, no, I want that table. It's just, they got to change the whole house. They are meant that a woman is the glory of a man. Oh, you can tell a lot by what a man is by looking at his wife. There was a man by the name of John Maxwell, and one of the guys that worked for him raised millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. Came into my office one day. He said, I need to work for you. I said, no, you don't. I don't need any help. He said, yeah, I want to work for you. What do you want me to do? I said, what do you do? I said, who are you? So he told me who I was. I don't need you. I'm not raising millions of dollars. I got 150 people. Don't need you. Go to work for you. He said, I need to set under your ministry. I said, well, let me meet your wife. He said, what? I said, I don't want to meet your wife. He said, she's not going to work for you. I'm going to work for you. I said, yeah, I'm not really interested in looking at you or talking to you. I want to meet your wife because I'll know more about you in 2 minutes with her than you can tell me in an hour. I want to know what she's like. Is she happy to be your wife? Is she a nag? Most nags are never listened to. The husband doesn't listen to her. Why do you think she nags? She's still trying to get your attention. Hello, I'm over here. Yeah. What's your wife like? Women will glorify. Give them a seed, man. They'll give you a son. They'll give you a daughter. Whatever you take it. It's in their DNA to glorify. That's what they do. She's the glory of a man. And many women never fulfill their calling so greatly until a man, the husband, will understand she's made to glorify. Give her something to work with. Let her be who she is in God. But there's a lot of time women doesn't understand. And they try to glorify things or glory in things that are not meant to be glorious. God's never meant for you to glory in temporary things. You're supposed to glory in eternal things. The real glory of a woman is not in her dress and her makeup and her hair. It's not in her shoes. And believe me, I understand women's shoes. We have a closet in our home. And then I have a little... But the glory of a woman is that meek and quiet spirit, that she can win a man even without her words. My wife can talk, and she's good. She's a lot better than me. Whew. And God says that the nature of God in her can win an unsaved man without words. Now that's glory. When you can win a heart without talking because of your behavior, your attitude, that is power. Women are made to glorify whatever you give them. And God wants to be glorified in women. And He wants to be glorified through men. What a day we live in. What a day we live in. Is this okay? I just, hallelujah. This lady here in the red or cardinal thing, whatever that is, I don't know. Hallelujah. Can I lean on you? It's a song. Lean on me. You were hungry, and the Lord's brought you. You've came a distance. And, you know, the people will travel anywhere if their destiny is going to be answered. God is answering destiny. He's answering destiny. And He uses people. He uses people to call us. He uses people. He wants to use you. God wants to use your voice. Is He using you? What are you talking about? By your words, you're justified, or by your words, you're condemned. Talk about the goodness of God. Talk about what He's done. Your greatest thing in the world is your testimony. And God has a path for you, and the path has been prepared, and it's a whole lot more than what you thought. It's going to fulfill a destiny and a hunger inside of you that said, I want this. Where is it at? There's more of God. Where is it at? God is unfolding things to people in our day, and it's going to happen fast. He's got to have some Annas. He's got to have some old people that are going to be in prayer and stay in prayer till they see God move. You know what the problem with some of our old people is? We're satisfied with coffee cup and fishing lines. Wake up! You have a destiny. And it's not to retire in a stupid boat. It's to fulfill the purpose of God. And maybe it's to pray. Maybe it's to stay in the temple. Fast and pray. Is a life worth it? Are your kids worth it? Are your grandkids worth it? You're gambling with the souls of people that can go to hell or heaven. And if we'll commit ourselves to humble ourselves and seek His face and pray, He's waiting to hear. Are you going to call upon Him? Are you going to call upon Him with all your heart? Are you going to put your boots in the ground and say, I'm determined. I don't want nothing less than the will of God. And that's when He answers. That's when He answers. You got your feet in the ground. And that's what He answers. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Is this okay? I know it's longer than normal. I want to go eat too. Hallelujah. I just feel the Holy Ghost. God just wants to do so much more. Man. You like that stuff. You've been praying. And God's answering. He's going to answer. And He's going to do more than what you thought. He's going to do more than what you thought. And He said, just lift up your eyes in the few days to come. Prayers that you prayed are already being answered. The pain is all going. The pain is going. Say, God, what if? What if? It's not a matter of what if. It's because God said. And you said, yes, Lord. God's washing things away. He's washing history away. There's so many things that are becoming new. It'll never be like it was. It'll never be like it was. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm out of time. What's your name again? Amy. Hallelujah. God provokes us, and He provokes us not to make us mad, but to stir our heart so that we'll see not just what is in our heart, but that we'll be moved to action greater than where we've been. And the worship that He calls us to will never find the satisfaction in our heart, the witness of the Holy Spirit, until we learn to sacrifice everything that we've put our hearts upon. You've had altars that you've laid in coming to God. I give you this, God, I give you this. Oh, but there's another one. Can you lay Him down, Abraham? Can you put Him on the altar, Abraham? Can you put it down? Abraham was from The Arameans, where they offered up their kids unto false gods. Now he's called into a land of idolatry where they're offering up their kids. And God is testing him. Do you hear my voice? God's not going to call him to kill his son. God is testing his love. How much do you love me? Are you willing to sacrifice everything that you've set your heart upon? Everything that will bring you fulfillment? Will you give it to me? And Abraham said, yeah. There's something about when you walk with God and he has that bait and he pulls you along, and he's done that to you. But he does that to us to bring us to levels of the Father's heart, to intercede for people that are different from us, to intercede for the people named Lot that left us and didn't care. They're looking for their own, and yet I'm going to go fight for Lot. Even though, Lot, you've been a jerk. You'll talk about me, you'll undermine me, but I'm going to fight for you. And see, that's the Father's heart. And when you and I have the Father's heart and we fight for people like Lot, and then we go after him again, and he's living in Sodom. He's living in a land of wickedness, and he's vexed with this sin, and he's vexed with this wickedness, and yet God calls him righteous. I don't know how he does this. And yet he did. And Abraham intercedes again, and God delivers Lot. Listen, when you and I will carry the Father's heart and we're to intercede for people that have chosen to live in wickedness, that have chosen to live apart from the people of God and the blessing of God, God's going to bring them in. God's going to bring them in. Are you ready to handle people that you didn't like? Would you intercede for people that you didn't like? Would you intercede and would you cry for people and tarry for people that have used you and abused you? Because that's the people that are going to bring in revival into Green Bay. And they're creating room for others. God's called you to create room for others. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you right now for this group of people. And I just thank you for maybe seeds and thoughts that you have sown here through what you've said, whether with my words or just your words to them alone. And let them bring forth fruit in Jesus' name. Let them bring forth fruit in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 There's just so much more going on here, and I don't have time, but do you sense this expectancy of the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. I wish I'd lay hands on every one of you. You're good stuff. You're called by God. When he said he called you, 1 Peter 5:10, he's called you. He's called you by name. It's the authorization from the judge himself that says, I've called you by name and I've called you for this purpose. It's greater than what you know, but it's nothing to do with you. It's not your strength. It's not your choice. You just accept it or reject it. It's the plan of God. Oh, man, to be marked by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. All right. Sorry.
No, it's good. As you're exhorting and just talking, I felt like the Holy Spirit was reminding me of that image of the sower of seed that just kind of scatters, you know. It's different than the machines that plant in very strategic ways and very uniform ways. You know, back in those days, they just had the bag and they just kind of do this, you know. And I felt like that was what you were doing tonight. And the reason I share that is because this is how you receive stuff like that. A lot of times, 1 point, 2 point, 3 point messages, you take notes and it's very coherent in a lot of ways. But then the Holy Spirit sends words that are scattered that you have to meditate and you have to chew on it. You almost have to go back and rethink, listen. Thank God we've got, you know, the technology and you can go back and listen to stuff. You might want to benefit from playing this tonight. And it's just in the background while you're cleaning the house or doing work in the garage or something like that. Listen, because there might be a little word or a little seed, a phrase that God uses that will spark faith in you. And with that one little spark of faith, it can change the entire direction of this year for you. And you may have not thought anything of it tonight, but that one little seed, if it gets root in that heart, it'll change what you do for the whole rest of the year. That's awesome. It's happened to me many times. And sometimes, just a little spark, even in the service. Don't lose it. If you lose it, you'll regret it. And it's your job and it's my job to maintain what the Lord is casting in your way. You know, take it. And don't think or despise those small seeds that the Lord drops in your path. They're very significant. Felt also for you young people. I'll have all young people stand for a second. And Pops, I want you to pray real quick. Just a blessing over the young people. Mind turning your mic back on and just have you do that. And Chloe's been working with the youth. I've been working with the youth.
Hallelujah.
But here's the thing. This year, I know it's been the Lord speaking already to Marcos. Marcos, that was a word of God, dude. Pillar, praise God. You should take that word home and write it on your pillow or something so that you can just hear it. And Lord's been speaking to our young people in a mighty way. And I don't know, Pops, have you look at the guy right there in the hoodie, the light blue hoodie right there, Gavin. Lord's got stuff marked on him.
Yeah.
He got a little highlight on him. I'm not going to tell anybody what the Lord is putting on my heart for him, but you know you're marked, you know you're different. There's something special that God's doing in your life and preparing for you. He is going to unfold it. And you never know, nights like tonight, Lord might pray or use him in some special way to just seal some work. So, Pops, go ahead and just pray if you don't mind for our young people.
Would you guys come up here and stand with me real quickly? Young people, come on up, stand with me. Yeah. It's so good. Hallelujah. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. Our life is from God. He's creator. He's everything. He can do miracles. He'll change your lives, give you gifts, talents, unbelievable. And you are the ones that we're looking to for God to move upon.
Amen.
We don't have anybody else.
Amen.
It's you. We're looking to you. We're believing God to touch you, to speak to you, to plant dreams inside of you that you never even thought of before.
Amen.
One of the young men that right now is one of the biggest producers in Hollywood, living in Nashville, came to me when he's 13 years old. His dad committed suicide in front of him. His mom barely made enough money to put food on the table. They borrowed from people to even live. He was born and bred in Hawaii. And in the middle of the night, I'd buy him pizzas and just bring him to the church, just buy him pizzas and keep him going. And now he writes music for movies all over the world. He writes for some of the biggest people in all the world. He never has had a lesson in his life. He not only plays and sings and has written over thousands and thousands of songs, but he's one of the biggest producers in Hollywood and Nashville. Don't tell me that you need to have talent and you need to go to college and you need to do this. And listen, God will pick you right off the street if you're saying, use me. I want you. I wonder what he'll do. Just lift your hands together to God. Lift them up to God. Listen, God lifted his hand and proclaimed promises. And so ever since Abraham lifted his hands. David said, lift your hands. When you lift your hands, it's because God, you lifted your hand and declared a promise, a covenant. And I lift my hands because I accept your word for my life. Now, if you don't want God's word, then just sit down. Don't raise your hand. But if you want God's word, his destiny, then lift your hand and pray with me. Say, Father God, speak to my heart. Say it real loud. Speak to my heart.
Oh, speak to our hearts.
I'm yours.
I'm yours.
I belong to you.
I belong to you.
I want your will in my life.
I want your will in my life.
I want everything you have for me.
Everything you have for me, Lord.
Mold me.
Mold me.
Talk to him. Mold me, God.
Praise.
You're my creator.
Praise you, Jesus.
I'm yours.
Praise.
Have your way in my life. Have your way in my life, Jesus. Have your way in my life, Jesus. Have your way in my life, Jesus. Let it be an attitude that you pray every day, God, have your way. I'm yours. And I'm telling you, God's going to speak to you. And that is an adventure that nobody will ever find other than you, because you're living an adventure of God for you. Hallelujah. This is so good.
Amen. Thank you, young people. Don't you love our young people? I love them. Praise God. Man. Well, let's all stand and put your hand in the hand of somebody next to you. Lick it first. And, oh, man. Praise you, Father God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you because you're an awesome God, and you're always awesome. You're awesome tonight. Your words are awesome. Your encouragement that you send us is awesome. And Lord, we thank you for what you've shared. We ask for a blessing on my dad. We ask for a blessing on the church there in Texas. We ask for a blessing even on us as he's come and imparted. Lord, let it grow. If there was a small seed of hope, a small seed of direction or wisdom, let it grow. If there was something you've shared through him tonight, Lord, let it not be stolen by the enemy or choked out by anything. Lord, let it produce fruit to the glory of your name. And Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing in Green Bay. And we also thank you, Lord, for birthing this church and bringing us together as different members in particular. But you brought us together and fit us. You fit us together so that we could be the visible body of Christ, so that we could be your hands and feet in Green Bay, so that through us you could make known to this city, make known to this world, your intentions and your heartbeat. Lord, as your will has been spoken, let it be done in us. And we just say amen. Praise God. Well, go be ministers.
Thank you for joining the Visible Church online.
Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, my sin was black as night. Oh, bless His name.